Time. Get the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Thunder Country weather.
This is your overnight KIIC weather update for Kioma Village, Moulton, Whitebreast, and all of southern Iowa. Your skies for the overnight will be clear with a low of 53, with breezy winds gusting as high as 31 miles per hour, bringing you to a sunny Tuesday, the high of 67, with winds gusting as high as 25 miles per hour, with mostly clear skies in your Tuesday overnight, the low of 44.
Now it's time for Just Start Talking on Thunder Country. Just Start Talking is a community service program from KIIC. And now with your host, Pat Powers, here's Just Start Talking.
With me right now for my installment of Just Start Talking, I have Brent Barnett. He's with the Brownfield Network. Brent, first of all, thank you so much for being with me here on KIIC.
Pat, great to be with you and really appreciate the invitation.
You're more than welcome. I appreciate the fact that you took time to chat with us and tell us a little bit about yourself. So go ahead and talk about where you grew up at.
Yeah, Pat. So I grew up in rural northwest Missouri, small town, Burlington Junction, Missouri. It's pretty close to Maryville, if you're familiar with that area, northwest Missouri state. Grew up there, went to West Nottoway High School, and, you know, when I went to college, I ended up going to Northwest. It's a Division II program there, and went and tried to get my mass media degree. So I got a Bachelor of Science in Mass Media from Northwest, and I always knew I wanted to be in radio. Whenever I was, you know, junior high, high school, I was trying to help out with PA announcing with sporting events from time to time. I did some sports myself and took part, but always wanted to be an announcer. And I kind of joke going back that I used to really be into video games, like the, if you ever heard of the Madden video games on like PS2, PS3, I would play those games and I would mute the TV while I was playing, and I would play by play those games while I would be on there while the video game was going on. So always knew I wanted to be in radio, and so had a really good time there at Northwest Missouri State. Called a lot of the Bearcats football, basketball, even some volleyball games on the student station there on campus. And that was kind of where my journey began in radio. I worked at KXCV, KRNW, which is the public radio station in Northwest Missouri State. And that was where I started getting into news writing on that side of things. And really developed a passion for that side of the business. Covered a lot of city council, school board meetings, city government, you know, any events in the community. And then that kind of transpired into my first full-time job out of college with KMA Radio in Southwest Iowa, in Shenandoah, Iowa. And KMA was just a fantastic place to work for. I interned there my senior year of college, and they offered me a full-time position upon graduation. And so when I was at KMA, Pat, that was really my first full-time job in radio. I got to be in the news department. I did some farm work on the side, doing the markets live on the air, and also did some sports play-by-play for them. And that was just a really cool time of my life, getting that introductory into radio. And I just, you know, very thankful for that experience and those opportunities back then. And, it's just, I mean, I'm sure you can attest to it. You know, when you cover local news for your local station, Pat, it just, you have a really important purpose for the community, don't you?
Absolutely. And KMA is a huge station to get started in. Let's back up the bus just a skosh, though. When you was in high school, were you involved with 4-H, FFA? Were you a farm kid?
You know, Pat, I didn't grow up on a farm. My grandpa farmed, and was always out of his place many a times, out on his farm. I was mostly taking his fishing poles and going and doing some fishing. I've been addicted to the outdoors ever since I was a little kid. A lot of that thanks to him. He would have me come out, and he had all these farm ponds, and so he had a whole, like, room full of old fishing gear, and I would take them and go out on the four-wheeler and fish all day during the summer and stuff and as a kid. But I was involved with some, I remember doing some livestock judging with some of the ag classes I took in school, and, you know, we did pretty good with that. I enjoyed doing the dairy foods competitions back then. I wasn't a member of 4-H, but ever since I've been in Ag News and Ag Radio, I mean, it's really cool to cover those programs and see some of the projects these kids that they work on throughout the year and, you know, and progress, and some get to the state fair. It's just a really cool part of my job to cover those kids.
You know, that dairy foods contest has a lot of opportunity to eat. you'll be eating cheese to kind of identify that. You'll also have some milk to taste, and sometimes it's not so good with rancid milk that they have, but you smell it first before you take a little sip of it, and you can tell if it's rancid just by smelling it. But talk real quick about that dairy food action.
Yeah, you kind of put it, you kind of said it well there. Make sure you're smelling it first, because you don't want to ruin your day right off the bat, because you might bite into something that won't make you feel good. I remember going to several competitions for that in Missouri growing up, and ended up going to Columbia for one of the competitions. I don't remember if it was a regional show or what, but it was at University of Missouri, and we had a group of us that traveled down there for that. I remember we stayed overnight in Boone, Missouri for that. And that was just a really cool experience, getting to take part in those regional shows like that. Really enjoyed that side of the judging. I feel like I had more success doing the dairy foods judging, like picking out different scents that you're trying to smell and the taste and everything. There's a lot to it, more than probably some people may think there is. It can be a really challenging competition.
Absolutely, that's for sure. I'm talking with Brent Barnett. He's with the Brownfield Network, and you talked about how you always wanted to be behind the microphone, but I'm sure you had some people that you looked up to in the media that you said, boy, that guy makes it look so easy or sound so easy. Talk about those folks.
Yeah, absolutely, Pat. Happy to. You know, I'd say one of my first broadcasting idols, someone I've never met but just always appreciated their work, Kevin Harlan, the sports play-by-play announcer that you hear on Westwood One that does a lot of the NFL games. And I know he did, or I don't know if he still does, but I know he did a lot of NBA back then, but he still does NFL today on CBS and on Westwood One. But Kevin Harlan's always been my favorite sports play-by-play announcer, and always tried to model a lot of my craft after him. I would say when I got into the news and ag side of the business, I really started to learn a lot about a lot of folks in the industry, and I've had a lot of great mentors along the way. Three stick out in particular for me currently. My biggest mentor into farm broadcasting, Pat, was Dean Adkins. Dean was the longtime farm director at KMA there in Shenandoah. He's since retired, but Dean was just the utmost professional, and he cared about everybody he talked to and treated everyone with kindness and truly cared about everybody. And just the way he handled his business and the way he communicated with people in the field is something I've always tried to model after and follow his footsteps. And he kind of took me under his wing whenever I came on as a young kid out of college, trying to figure out how to read the markets on the air and report on ag issues. And he's just been probably the biggest mentor in my career up to this point. And I can't thank Dean Adkins enough for that. I'd say also a couple other mentors I'd like to mention. Russ Parker. Russ is head of the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, and I had the great opportunity to work for Russ for a few years there with the Iowa Ag Network in Des Moines. Russ took a chance on me. He really gave me my first, I would say, primarily full-time farm position as a farm broadcaster, because when I was at KMA, I was primarily in the news and sports department. And Russ took a chance on me, brought me on to the Iowa Ag Network when I was looking to get into more of that side of the business, and really thankful for all the opportunities that he presented me in my career, and still friends with him to this day, and really look up to him as a friend and as a mentor, and Just really appreciate everything that he does for farm broadcasting, and also all of his work with NAFB and the NAFB Foundation. Just a lot of great stuff there. And then lastly, my current manager, Cindy Young, the head of Brownfield. She's just been fantastic to work for, a great boss, and always very passionate about her job and very well-respected within this space, and just someone that I really look up to and very thankful to have the opportunity to work for.
You know, Kay, I see as a connection there with Russ Parker. Of course, we had the Big Noon, and that's produced by Iowa Agribusiness Network. And so, yes, his product that he puts out is really, really phenomenal. Talk about, you know, as you grew up, and you talked about playing the Madden games, and you talked about being behind the microphone there at college and so forth. You always have to come across some joyous stories that you have covered and said, boy, that was kind of neat to hear, and nice to give that out. Do you have any stories that you say, wow, I'm glad I did those?
Yeah, a couple of them come off the top of my head here, Pat. One of the coolest experiences I ever had was within my first year working at KMA. I was invited by some of the leadership in Maryville, Missouri, to come down and cover this grand opening they were having for a new youth short course, a golf course for youth at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. So they have their, you know, regular 18-hole course, which is, I believe, called like the Seacrest 18 there at Mazingo. But they constructed a 9-hole short course for youth, and it was developed and organized by the legendary golfer Tom Watson. And Tom Watson himself was going to be there for this grand opening event. And I'll never forget being able to go down there, cover that grand opening, and then Tom himself played the first 9 holes with a couple of area youth there from the Maryville School District, kids that were, I believe, under 10 years of age.
Nice.
And the whole crowd that was there that day, I bet there was a couple hundred on hand. It was like following a PGA Tour event, everybody behind the tee boxes and following along the fairways as they played. Getting to be there firsthand and watch someone like Tom Watson, who's a 5-time British Open champion, playing with these youth in Maryville, it gives me goosebumps to this day, because it was one of the coolest experiences I've ever had. And then for him to take the time afterwards to do like a one-on-one interview with me on camera, and then after the, you know, we go off the air to hang around and chat a little bit about life, we'll never forget that experience. That one, right, still to this day, is at the top of the list for me.
That is so cool. I'm talking with Brent Barnett. He's involved with the Brownfield Network, and let's flip the script. Give us a depressing story. Maybe it was hail damage. Maybe it was wind damage. Maybe it was a fire. Talk about a story that you had to do that made you say, gosh, that's wish that never happened.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's the unfortunate side of, you know, being in news and farm news, regular regional local news as well. There's obviously tragedies that happen, Pat, and I mean, there's just a number of them that you can think of that, you know, whether it be loss of life or a casualty, yeah, it's just really hard to, you feel for those families that go through those situations, and then you have to report on this on the air for the public, and it's just a challenge, you know, emotionally, mentally, and you hope those things don't happen. It's inevitable that they do, unfortunately. The accidents happen, and you want everybody to go home safe at the end of the day.
That's right.
And you don't ever wish any harm on anybody. So it's just, anytime there's a tragedy, it's just really, really difficult, and you just have to try to push through it from a reporter standpoint and get the information out there that, you know, is given out to the public. But it's just that's just the toughest part of the job. It's just really hard sometimes.
I like the way you said that, loss of life. So many times in agriculture, if an individual succumbs to cancer or has an unfortunate accident where they perish, why, the entire farming community gets together and they'll rally around that family and have a big day in which there's lots of combines in that field and there's lots of wagons and there's lots of semis, and they take care of that family by getting the crop out. And, you know, it's just really cool to see that. But again, it was a tragic situation that brought back the friendship and the help that other people give. And, you know, you're right. You have to go ahead and push through it. I know exactly what you're meaning when you talk about that. Let's chat about something that you also have come up. I noticed that you have something called Outdoor Podcasts. Now, this is where you take that fishing trip that you've talked about. Maybe you talked about some deer hunting adventures. How did this come about? This is something that is kind of a big deal, right?
Yeah, so I'm very passionate about the outdoors, something I've been hunting and fishing since I was a little kid. And, you know, here a few years back, started thinking, why don't I start a hunting podcast or an outdoor podcast? So we now have the Outdoor Adventures program that's been up and running for several years now on the Brownfield Network, and it also airs on our on the Learfield's Agra America 24/7 streaming app. And I also post the whole video conversation on Brownfield's YouTube channel every week, and it's just kind of a laid back conversation, swapping hunting stories, talking about hunting tactics, fishing tactics, with a lot of experts and people that have a lot more experience hunting than I do. And I'm very upfront, Pat, in the beginning of the episodes. I'm not the expert here. I'm learning just as much as the listeners are. It's basically like me being in class almost, and I'm learning just as much as they are. It's been such a positive experience, and I've met so many great hunters and fishermen along the way that just have so much experience in the outdoors, and they share little bits of information and advice, things that I wouldn't have even thought about before. I think back to an interview that I did with Dan Enfault, who was he's a hunter from Wisconsin and has a show on YouTube called The Hunting Beast, and he was explaining to me about he hunts specific buck beds. Like he says traditionally people will target field edges for whenever they deer hunt, crop fields, things like that. He dives right into the thick cover, and all year long, he scouts and looks for these bedded areas and finds specific buck beds. And then by the time season rolls around, he'll go in there and target a specific bed that he's pinned on a map, expecting a certain buck to be laying in that bed. And he has just a high success rate of taking these monster bucks with a bow, based on how he scouted throughout the year and found a specific bed that they actually lay in. And so just hearing things like that, strategies I've never even had thought of before the podcast, it's just been really cool, and I'm glad we get to share that with people as well. And there's been some really, really great feedback from a lot of the listeners on that show.
Now, I've got to ask a question that I might be incorrect, but are you in the Pella area then?
Yes, sir. Yep, I live here in Pella with my family, my wife, Reagan, and we have three children.
And the reason I ask that, you can utilize Red Rock for these adventures, outdoor adventures. Am I not right?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, it's been really cool living up here around the Pella area. We take our kids fishing at Lake Red Rock all the time. That's just been a blast. There's a lot of really cool access points. All of our kids are under, 5 years and younger, so we try to find places we can get them really close to the shoreline so that they can have a good experience. And we've found several areas there along Red Rock where you can take the kids fishing, get them up close to the water, and catch some fish. Last year we caught a pretty nice blue cat. I think it was last August. It was close to 8 or 10 pounds there just off the bank, and caught a whole bunch of drums and crappie and bluegill and bass, and That's just, yeah, living up here around Lake Red Rock has been such a great experience. There's a lot of public hunting opportunities. A lot of my contacts at the DNR that I've had on the Outdoor Adventures podcast or have been showing me on their, they have a hunting atlas on their website that shows all the public ground and, you know, just kind of seeing all the acres that's out there public wise that you can hunt around the Lake Red Rock area. That's just been really beneficial living here close by.
Yeah, that's a big plus for sure. Talk a little bit about, we're going back to the radio side, talk about those markets. Sometimes those markets are difficult to say because there's lots of numbers and so on and so forth, but usually before you give the numbers, you talk about the trend that's going on. Do you have that trend down in your head? Do you read it off of somebody else's work? You know, you're talking about the amount of animals that are coming through for harvest. Do you do your homework, I guess, is what it is, or is it already laid out for you?
Well, you're kind of doing your own research heading into that, using your sources. Like USDA has a lot of reports that come out through the day that I forget if it's NAS or one of their other departments. That gives some links out that they'll have updates on hogs and cattle numbers throughout the day. I know that a lot of stations will take information from bar chart and DTN for analysis. You just kind of, you know, throughout the day, you're reading sources, getting an idea of what the trends are, what's going on with movement and things like that, and then you put your reports together. I will say, since I've joined Brownfield, I'm more primarily now in the news, farm news reporting area, and we have a full-time commodity and livestock market analyst. John Perkins does our commodity updates on Brownfield. He's in the Jefferson City office, and Megan Grebner is our full-time livestock market analyst. And so they do a really great job, Pat, of putting their own analysis together, and they post their commentary on our Brownfield website under the market section. You can search for commodity and livestock markets there. So whenever I'm the kind of the backup and fill in for them whenever they're out of the office for events or if they're on vacation or something, then I get put into that role. So they would, as they leave, they kind of help me as far as the analysis side of things. But as far as reading the numbers, I've been reading the numbers since, you know, going back when I started in radio in 2014. So, I really enjoy reading those market numbers. You kind of get a feel for it and you get into a rhythm. And, you know, John and Megan at Brownfield do a really great job of keeping me updated on the trends, because when you're not fully in it, day in and day out throughout the week, it could be hard to know what's going on.
Yep. You've got to be up on those markets, that for sure. They can change at a drop of a hat. I'm talking with Brent Barnett. He's with the Brownfield Agricultural Network. And Brownfield, huge name in the media. I'm sure you've been able to go to events that Brownfield has sent you to. Talk a little bit about your favorite place that they've sent you to, whether it was a convention, whether it was a story. Talk about that.
I'd say the coolest place I've been sent to so far was a couple years ago in January, I believe, of 2022. They sent me by myself to San Juan, Puerto Rico. San Juan was hosting the American Farm Bureau Federation convention down there for 3 or 4 days. And so I flew down to San Juan and was there at a place there in Puerto Rico along the coast, and it was just a tremendous experience covering that farm meeting for American Farm Bureau and sending that coverage back to the team here at Brownfield to air the reports on the air. And I'll never forget that experience. Just going to the convention center throughout the day, and then in the evening, you're right there along the coast. Go look at the ocean and stuff like that, and just so many cool places to check out. That one would be at the top of the list. I really enjoy covering the Farm Progress Show. I just wrapped that up, some coverage there late last month, because it was in Boone, Iowa this year. I'm sure a lot of the listeners maybe took part in that or went and checked things out. But Farm Progress Show is always a really fun one because you have all these ag associations and ag companies in one spot displaying the latest technology that they're releasing for the year. So you learn about what's to come for the following year. Those would be two right off the top of my head. It's always fun as well to cover the Iowa FFA convention. That's a good one every year, seeing all the kids coming together for their leadership. And then, of course, I would have to throw in the Iowa State Fair as well, because when you're covering the Iowa State Fair, you get to check out all the new foods while you're on the ground as well.
Absolutely. I'm sure in Puerto Rico as well, you put your toes in the sand as well, because, like you said, you're right there on the Caribbean Sea. How cool is that? I've been talking with Brett Barnett for this edition of Just Start Talking, and you can go back to listen to this all over again by going to our website, www.kiicradio.com. Select the Listen Live tab at the top, and then down on the right side, this podcast, along with all the other podcasts, will be listed there, and you can listen to it all over again. Brent Barnett, thank you so much for being with me here on KIIC today.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. I really appreciate it. And go Chiefs. Hopefully they can keep this win streak going.
I'll second that.
Church on Cumberland Road. There you go, Shenandoah for you this afternoon. And 40%, 45% of ladies wear these, even though some people say, yeah, why? Why? Well, what do you think they are? We'll get to the answer coming up. Billy Joe Spears coming up in a few.
Come and look out through the window. That big old moon is shining down. Tell me now. A blanket on the ground. Remember back when love first found us. We'd go slipping out of town.